A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with a special edition of the podcast, because today we're going to be talking to the host of Big Brother Canada, the one and only Arissa Cox, will be joining us to talk Big Brother Canada as we head into the Big Brother Canada finale week. We're down to just four people in the Big Brother Canada house, just 3 hours of Big Brother Canada left this season, and Arissa is good enough to come on the podcast and talk with us about everything that's going on that show. If you missed it on Friday, we did our Big Brother weekend recap. I had Kevin Martin from Big Brother Canada 3. He was on the podcast with us talking all of that through, with Alex Kidwell giving us the update from the live feeds. And then I had my exit interview with Joel. If you missed that, that's available on robisawebsite.com. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of this stuff, you could subscribe to the podcast. Go to robisawebsite.com/iTunes or search for RHAP in your favorite podcatcher. All right, everybody, it is my great honor to bring you, for the very first time here on the podcast, the host of Big Brother Canada. Welcome, the great Arissa Cox. Arissa, how are you?
Oh my gosh, I am amazing. What an amazing season. I am so happy to be talking with you. I love your podcast. I think you're doing an amazing job. I think JP is doing an amazing job. And I love that this is where we're at. I love that the excitement of a Final Four. We've got such polarizing people still in the game.
Yes.
And I could not be more thrilled.
Well, Arissa, thank you very much for making some time to talk with us. I know it's finale week, but it's a really great time to talk about some Big Brother Canada as we head into the Final Four. And as you said, it's been a really, really fun season. We have this Final Four set up, which we're going to find out ultimately who's going to be in the Final Three this Wednesday night as we head into the home stretch. You had tweeted earlier this week, if you predicted this Final Four, no way, you're a liar. There's no way that anybody could have seen this. And it's been a very unexpected group here that we have at the end. Could you sort of just give us your take on this Final Four?
Okay, well, let's talk about it. For one, I mean, the headline is that it's unbelievable to me that we have three twists in the Final Four in the brothers, Kelsey with her buyback and Tim from Australia. And the fourth is a member that almost every, I mean, 99% of people doing their preseason picks would have thought she would be out first or second.
I did
that. Like nobody thought she would make it to Final Four. So the fact that we just have, those three people out of the four, huge targets going into the game, the fact that they're still there blows my fucking mind.
Wow. Well, let's talk about the brothers and this twist, because I thought that this was something that was never going to work. I thought it was going to be something that I thought I would hate in terms of these two people playing together in the season. And I've loved it. I really have. It's worked out far better than I ever could have imagined in terms of the fact that I've talked about this. You know, you thought that they were going to sort of be like the twins on Big Brother, where they were always going to be on the same page and they were never going to have a disagreement. But they've had so much internal conflict about what they want to do. And I think that's made really fun to watch.
Absolutely. And from my perspective, I remember, you know, learning of this. And remember, here's the thing. A lot of people that, you know, go, oh, the game's rigged or this, that, and the other, all these twists. Let me tell you something. We work months in advance to set up these traps throughout the whole season. It's all laid out. We have no idea, once we've released the mice, who is going to fall into these traps based on the weeks we set them out in, right? I would love to say we're so nimble that we can change things on the fly, but they don't change. These decisions are made long in advance. So the fact is, with the brothers' twist, I mean, I probably had the same response as everyone else. Like, will this work? Or have we just handed everyone a very easy first eviction, right? And it seemed like we had, let me tell you, in the studio, when we were filming the premiere episode of the season, when we sent Nick in afterwards and he walked up to his brother and introduced himself and still shook his hand, you should have heard the crowd. Like, it was this palpable excitement that they were going to pull off the impossible. And then what do you know?
I blew up
their game immediately afterwards, which I was like, oh my God. So there's target number two. They've already come in lying. Mm-hmm. What have we done? Luckily, in a first episode, the house guests are so overwhelmed. They're like deer in headlights trying to figure out everything. And so it happened early on. You know, had it happened 3 weeks in, that would have been a big problem, right?
Yeah.
First night, everything's crazy. Nobody remembers what's going on right away. So it worked out for that first little bit. But the fact that they were able to play the middle so successfully and somehow evade everybody's crosshairs is just phenomenal to me. And the fact that they've made it this far, let alone being a pair of one of the most entertaining house guests we've ever had because of exactly what you said, that whole sibling situation, older brother, younger brother, I make all the decisions. You're not allowed to open your mouth. My God, look at that decision you just made. It's been great. They've been television gold to me.
Now, because it's worked so well and they have been so fun to watch on the show, would you guys do this again with other people? Or do you feel like that this was just the perfect two guys to do this with?
Honestly, it was a perfect storm. It was the perfect two guys. It's the perfect season for this when we've got other distractions happening with internationals, et cetera. I can't speak to the future. I don't know whether we'd ever do it again, but I could not be happier with how it's worked out. And love them or hate them, because let me tell you, people love them or hate them. I am just so happy with how it worked. I just can't even believe it. I can't believe it.
Now, I know that having the brothers in the house has led to a lot of on the fly sort of rule changes. We saw that a little bit when we had the HOH where Nick said, I want to put us both on the block. And, you know, it was a moment that we talked about so much. Should they be allowed to do that? Would they be allowed to do that? You bought some time and said, hold on, are you sure about that? Could you just take us through what was going through your mind during that moment?
Absolutely. And let me tell you, Rob, I am very discerning. I don't do a ton of interviews, but I'm so excited to be talking about this with you.
Thank you.
Because this was the Are You Sure heard round the world as far as Big Brother is concerned. So in context, there was a lot happening. This was a double eviction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jared had been sent out already, dramatic in and of itself. Also dramatic, Cassandra wins POV. My God, she uses it on Tim after promising up and down that she wouldn't.
Yes.
So amazing already. So in the moment, literally, I mean, this is something that we'd never seen before. It was like full on shock and awe. And that, Are You Sure, genuinely did come from a place of wanting to be sure. We've never had two players playing as one and a snap decision like this. And of course, in the context of the episode, and we got to learn that more on the following episode, was that they were not lockstep in agreement at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I did actually feel like I had to give them an opportunity just in case one of them completely disagreed. So while that's happening, I'm waiting for a ruling from Big Brother in my ear, right? Because the last thing I'd want to do is carry on with it and then find out later that actually that's not possible, for instance, right?
Yeah.
So I'm waiting on the call. And then, by the time we get the call, he'd already chosen Joel. Phil had said, all right, Joel, step up on the block, which was unbelievable. Like, I still cannot believe that this happened. And I'm okay. So just on another note, God love JP for taking umbrage with this question. Where are you sure? He goes, where was Are You Sure when I offered, you know, to go up on the block and I threw the veto? So let me tell you, Jordan had about 800 people asking if he was sure. I'm pretty sure he wasn't playing with his brother as one house guest. And so I find it adorable, but I have to say he should be sending me a gift basket for taking him out of the running for the dumbest move in Big Brother Canada history. but I loved how it turned out. I loved that it gave us insight into this pair because it was such an inexplicable move.
Right.
That I think the look on my face and where I was in my head was probably where everybody was watching it happen. Like, is this happening? And then a split second later, it was over.
Because to us, we were saying, oh, is this a move? Was this something were they trying to do? Did Nick know that, oh, they're not going to let me go up on the block? And it's sort of the kind of thing where then I can make it look like to Joel, like, what was I supposed to do? I wanted to put myself up. But then that episode from last Sunday, when we got to see, you know, he really was that Nick was just like so mad at Phil about what he did, that it was really, really great drama. And, you know, you've been in this sort of situation before. Of course, you know, we all remember from the first season, the Topaz incident.
Oh, wow.
Where
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I didn't ask you about this. In you know that was just such great television history to have that happen. Can you just talk us through what was going through your mind during that moment?
Absolutely. I mean, one thing that was really clear to me as it was happening, as that finale was going down, was this is going to be a tight vote. You know, mm-hmm. we're probably looking at a 5-4 situation, and it's probably at this point, like just judging from people's questions, like I remember, you know, Peter Brown went really hard on Jill. Like, I think we had sort of a sense. Okay. But the one vote we were absolutely sure about was Topaz's vote, because Gary was her bestie.
Yes.
Jillian was her arch nemesis after, you know, promising 100% or 150% or something to not put her up. And then mm-hmm. she did. So that was one vote that we were absolutely sure about. So I read this vote. And if you watch it back, I'm like pretty calm, right? I'm like, okay, this is not what I expected, but let's carry on. You know, she made her vote, so who knows? We'll probably find out after the fact what the hell was going through her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then we read it out, and then we've got the wait, what? And I just like I think back, and basically my brain was overloading at this point. In a finale type situation, there's so much like TV production type stuff that's in your head that you have to pull off in a very smooth manner. This was like not even a wrench thrown at me. It was like an entire toolbox came flying at me.
Yeah.
And God love Topaz, because she genuinely at the beginning thought that we had switched her vote.
Yeah.
Or that she really was very, very suspicious. Now, in the crowd, I mean, this whole process actually took longer than it did in the edit. From the audience, you know, anyone who says, oh, no, that was rigged. Oh, you guys had planned that. If you had been in the crowd, you would not have had a doubt in your mind. For example, my cousin was there with my sister. She hadn't watched the season. All my family was there. She hadn't watched the season. She's a cop. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was about 10 seconds away from jumping up on the stage because she thought Topaz was going to deck me. Like, she was absolutely sure that I was about to get hit in the face. And the funny thing is, I look back and I can remember looking at, first of all, Topaz has beautiful eyes. But I remember her taking my hand and just saying to me, like, don't do this to me.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the vote was cast. We couldn't redo. I mean, there's legal issues here that we have to contend with.
Right.
And I looked into her eyes, and it was like my heart broke for her, because that's basically taking $80,000 away from your best friend and giving it to your mortal enemy. Like, I cannot imagine what she was going through. But in the crowd, we watched her literally go through the stages of grief, you know, like whatever the stages are. It's like, you know, like denial and anger, and then, you know, and then sadness and then just acceptance. Like, she just, by the end, she was like, she saw that we had the tape, you know, we had her voting. And honestly, I think it was so simple, just that on finale night, you're voting for your winner. You're not voting to evict somebody. And she just wanted to pull off her cute line about, you know, 150%
yeah.
to the camera, that she just lost it for a sec. And it was a momentary decision, but it had such huge implications for the game. That was, to be honest, like the scariest, most amazing piece of television I've ever been a part of. And when it was happening, it was like, it was extremely stressful. But in the end, you know, Gary was at peace with it. Jillian was at peace with it. Topaz is at peace with it, thank God. And we got like one of the most exciting season finales I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it's also your first live finale too. So, you know, if it happened now, it would still be crazy. But, you know, you've been through the wars a few times now.
That's so right.
It's all crazy. Right. But just like Gary in that first Big Brother Canada finale, you have somebody who was out of the game, who came back in with a twist. And now here we have Kelsey, who is potentially in that same situation where she could make it to the end, and people will have to decide if somebody who got voted out should be the winner of the season. Did you have any idea at the time that when it's her or Levita coming back into the game, that one of them could have run the table and potentially gotten to this point?
Oh, of course not. Of course. I thought it was going to be a revolving door. I was like, well, that's a waste of a twist.
Yeah.
Great. You know, they're going to be the first ones out. Remember, do you remember how hard they had worked to get one of the Third Wheel Alliance members out? Like, it was a huge coup when she left. And credit to Joel, because that was the first big move of the season. And he got zero blood on his hands because everybody assumed it was Livia. So that was actually kind of phenomenal that that happened the way it did in the first place. What blew my mind, though, and I'm sure it blew yours, was so the idea that it was going to be a unanimous vote from house guests voting that person back in, like that was set in motion long ago, right? So that was just the way we were going to do it. You know, we don't publicize these things until they happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they rolled over so quickly was probably one of the most shocking things I've experienced, definitely this season. It, to me, I couldn't believe that it was happening. And I feel like if Dallas was there, that wouldn't have happened.
Mm-hmm.
There needed to have been someone who was unafraid of being the first voice, because of course, both Mitch and Maddie saw like the ridiculousness of the situation, but they decided so quickly. And it seemed to be like a, not even a strategic game move, right? Do you remember Tim? He was like standing up and he was like, you know, we really think we love her energy. And, you know, that's the kind of energy we want in the house. And I was like, are you guys crazy?
Mm-hmm.
But they did it. And this is why truth is stranger than fiction. We could never have written that this is what would have happened. Not only that this would have happened, but who would have been in the secret room? Because, you know, when we set up the secret suite, it very easily could have been Jared in there first. And I was actually, remember, that was a huge shocking moment too. Maddie goes postal, takes out one of the members of her own alliance,
mm-hmm,
in this incredible coup for what seemed at the time like a ridiculous reason. Well, Livia could win it all. Well, you might not get to be at the end if you don't have the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it easily could have been different people in that secret suite. The fact that it ended up being Kelsey and Livia, who really didn't like each other, well, maybe more on the Kelsey side, and then got in and then became best friends after a couple days. And then Kelsey got them back. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's so crazy that, you know, how it all worked out. And so, you know, you have this twist where Kelsey and Levita are in the secret room and they're able to watch the feeds and they end up trading notes about what's going on in the house. And then this really all comes to at the expense of Mitch, who then when Kelsey comes back into the house, he gets voted out. And I know how tapped in you are on social media. And I know that everybody was saying at the time, you know, Mitch mastermind and he's playing such a great game. Do you guys, after that happens where you had this person who was playing this incredible game and who knows, the sky is the limit on him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up going out because of the twist. Is that something where you guys just as the production say like, okay, well, you know, these are just the breaks, or it's like, oh, we've made a terrible mistake. I can't, this was not how we wanted it to go.
Right. Well, for me, I mean, this was a very, very interesting case because Mitch's game was so invisible that it almost helped Kelsey and Levita figure it out because they were watching without sound for the majority of the time.
That's interesting.
You know, you get distracted by the words that are coming out of people's mouths sometimes, but when you're actually seeing, when you're looking at body language and who's spending time with you, things can become clearer. And I remember them both coming to the realization that Mitch was dangerous, but so was Tim. So when Kelsey came back in, I thought it was going to be like the axe was going to fall for one of those two people. I assumed those would be the two people on the block, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting, though, is when you talk about the best players, when you talk about actual masterminds within Big Brother, when people are backed up against a wall, that's when you see their best. That's when you see them pull stuff that you could not imagine, mm-hmm, you could not have seen coming. Like just this past week, seeing Cassandra escape the block was just perfection. Like it was incredible to watch. I was excited to see how Mitch was going to play this because he had a number of different options. And, you know, of course, in retrospect, I mean, you can figure out all the coulda, woulda, shouldas, right?
Mm.
Hindsight is 20/20. So when he looks back, he's going to go and once he sees the pieces, say, wow, had he gotten Raul and Jared into a room? Because of course, Jared was the one who had floated the idea of maybe backdooring the brothers. Remember?
Yes.
I thought, had he gotten them in a room instead of going complete like nuclear option on the Third Wheel Alliance, which he was still kind of a part of, had he approached them with not just here's why I shouldn't be on the block, but here's a solution to a problem we're going to have going down the road, that could have worked for him. So I feel like, you know, yes, do I think Mitch is an incredible player? I absolutely do. If, God willing, we ever get to an all-star cast, I would love to see him in that cast. However, did he have the keys to his own destiny within the game? I think he did. And unfortunately, it didn't work out.
Do you feel like that's too much of a talking point of there's too many twists in Big Brother Canada? And you feel like that if somebody's a really good player, they need to be able to ride out the twists?
I really do think that's an argument that doesn't get enough play. I think I love seeing people with their backs against the wall. I really do. I think adversity brings out the best in the best players. And that's even from just a TV viewing audience perspective as a fan. That's what I want to see. Nobody likes to see somebody who doesn't have to work for it. And when you see someone work for it, then you get to feel like they are a deserve. Like, that's the only time that whole so-and-so deserves to win, that even means anything to me. Because I think everyone, for making it into the house, I think everybody deserves to win. But when you see someone sweat, that's when you feel it. That's when you can really root for somebody who you might not have even thought of before the season began. But when you see some incredible moves that you haven't seen before happen, that's when we get the best television. So to me, the twists do not bother me at all, because we have to keep them on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this classic Big Brother theory, you know, keep your head down at the beginning, make sure you're part of like a larger alliance, make sure you got a goat on side, like all these things.
Go to sleep for a month.
That we kind of know now. Without the twist, like, wouldn't people already know how to play?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I love it. I think it's amazing. I mean, we're used to all kinds of different things being thrown at us, and not just on the Canadian version, but on the US version and on other international versions. But I think we've got a special thing going, and this year I think we really hit like a really good balance of when to completely throw people's perceptions of where the game is going out the window, and then just have it all blow up, and then we get to watch the fallout.
Now, one of the twists from the beginning of the season was the idea of the wild cards, the international wild cards, being Nikki and Tim. And I really think that was something that really gave the season a lot of energy in terms of Tim, because you have somebody who is, I think, a really, really good manipulator of people, but he's also kind of crazy. And I think it wasn't somebody that you brought in that was just like a mastermind game bot to come in. And because I think he really was very unpredictable this season. Do you feel like is that also something that like a well that you guys might want to tap again in future seasons?
Well, I was absolutely in love with this wild card. I thought it was so creative and just a way to bring a different kind of energy into the house, into the show this season. I think we absolutely lucked out. That vote worked in our favor because Tim and Nikki have just offered such incredible television. And again, because they are legitimate wild cards, like not even just the twist. I mean, them as individuals are wild cards. I don't even think they know where they're going half the time. They just are living in the moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was brilliant, and not only because they turned out to not be targets and somehow managed to keep skating through, Nikki by just being like generally oblivious to what was happening, and Tim, because he was playing this mentor card that everybody bought for so long, like it's just shocking from the outside. I think everybody watching back, all the house guests are just gonna facepalm like over and over and over, because there were a few people who understood how dangerous he could be, and neither one of them was willing to spend a ton of capital on actually getting him out. And I think they all regret that decision.
Cassandra has also been such casting gold. I didn't think she was going to be much this season. I really thought, especially at the point where with LaVita, oh, I can't believe that bitch won. I thought that her mouth was going to get her in trouble. She's turned into such a great character on the show. How fun has she been to watch for you?
Cassandra has been everything. Anything you could want in terms of a house guest she's given us. She's given us such good DR. She's an independent thinker. Nothing that comes out of her mouth seems scripted. She's thinking constantly. Like, I don't understand how, I mean, she had some migraines in the house and I understand why, because that girl's brain did not turn off.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw, I was scared for her at one point, because when she was campaigning for Dallas to stay, I was like, are you sure you want to stick your neck out that much? Because one of her criticisms within the house was that she played too hard, that she didn't turn it off. But that ended up being what helped get her to Final Four. She's been just amazing to watch because she's so game-minded. And thank God that Cassandra and Tim were on the same season, because I've loved duos in the show before, but this was so unique. They had such chemistry together. They understood each other's crazy on a level that most people didn't. And Tim, you know, to this day is saying that, you know, he didn't expect to find his equal in the house, and he found it. And that it was somebody who's so unexpected, someone who was terrible at challenges, turned out to be that person, was just absolutely fantastic to me. And she comes from a different place. Like she, you know, looked like a beauty queen when she came in, but she was one of the weird kids in her heart. So she had a way to find common ground with just about everybody, even though she did have a big mouth and did, it did get her into trouble. But how quickly she thought on her feet and how she could see the small picture and the bigger picture. I mean, she's just been amazing to watch.
And the Tim and Cass alliance, to me, I think has been almost like the brothers, where it's like, okay, they get along so well, but then there's also this internal conflict where they will get into fights with each other, which is really just very fun to watch. Let me ask you sort of a nerdy question in terms of how it would work in the finale. If the brothers get to the final two, will they both be allowed to give arguments, or will only like, well, okay, this is the Nick week to compete, this is the Phil week to compete? Have you guys had that conversation of how that would work?
You know what? That's a very good question, because most of the time I feel that the jury comes into a finale situation with their mindset. I mean, I would love to go back and pull all the house guests to see who actually changed their mind based on the questioning they received. I remember season three with Sarah Godfrey, final two. You know, Sarah got more questions than Godfrey did. That being said, I would be shocked if I found out that a lot of people changed their minds on the fly based on what they heard. Godfrey's problem was that his game was so good, it was invisible.
Yeah.
So trying to convince people that you played this masterful game, while we might have thought that at home, it took some convincing on their parts, right? Because it was, they didn't see it. They didn't see, you know, tons of comp wins. They didn't see tons of house flips, that kind of thing. So people couldn't really believe it. But in terms of their speeches at the end, I actually can't wait to hear what they both say. And it's not going to be a scenario where only one talks, because I think that would be ridiculous. But whenever they open their mouths, I'm basically on the edge of my seat. I'm like, what are they going to say now? So I cannot wait for arguments. I mean, if they end up in the final two, God love them. And I will stand up and applaud that, because it is shocking that they are in the final four even. I can't wait. Where's my popcorn? Like, I need a humongous, I need a room full of popcorn.
Like that veto challenge from last week.
Oh God.
I feel like since maybe the second season of Big Brother Canada, we've been talking about the idea of Big Brother Canada All-Stars. When is it going to happen? But on the other hand, you know, you have a season, we have this really great cast, and it seems like, you know, Rob and Cass could, you know, just keep churning these casts out.
Brilliant.
You know, how much should we be expecting an All-Star version of Big Brother Canada? Is that something that you think is more imminent, or something for more down the road?
That's a great question. And I think it's a great question because, I mean, you're you know, watching from the U.S. Here in Canada, we have a much smaller population base, right? So we're about 1/10 of your population. So when big shows come into Canada that are this expensive to produce, which Big Brother is a very expensive show, often what happens is viewership starts to go down slowly but surely, right? And then something can start to feel stale or what have you. And then it goes away. Even if it's still popular, things go away. And we've honestly, it's heartbreaking when it's your favorite show, but in Canada, we're kind of used to it. So while I kind of, you know, hope for the, I expect the worst and hope for the best, I feel like because we've had such a strong season and our viewership has gone up so much, and because all of a sudden we are part of this wider international Big Brother conversation, I feel like it's a no-brainer. But of course, that's a no-brainer to us because we're fans. We're super fans, you know? Who knows what's going to happen? But would I love to see an All-Stars? Like, are you kidding? Like, I feel like the world would stop spinning for 3 months.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in any cast, there's some absolute winners. And then other people, and, you know, not like that they're bad or anything, but sometimes people don't offer the same level of entertainment that other house guests do. That's fair, right?
That's very fair.
Yeah. So I think the idea of an entire cast full of people who you've already gotten to know, people who probably know each other's games already, so you can't like pull the wool in the same way you would with an original cast. That would be fascinating to see. And then, like, can you imagine the DRs? Can you imagine the gameplay? Can you imagine the split votes and the house flips and the grand plans and the small subterfuges? Like, there's so much that could go on. I can't even, like, please, BB gods, if you're out there, give us the All-Star BB Can cast that we need and deserve. That's my speech. I'm done.
Maybe more importantly, Arissa, just to touch on what you're saying, that you're making me worry about the health of Big Brother Canada. Is there anything that people could be doing proactively to help make this not even be a question?
Well, I feel like it's not a question. Like, let me don't get it twisted. I'm not saying like, oh my God, everybody be
I
afraid.
Get nervous.
No, I know. And so do I, but I'm a pragmatist. Like I come from news. Remember I'm not an actor. I don't come from the dramatic world. I come from journalism. So for me, that's partly why I love this game so much, because you don't know where it's going. You might think, you know, and every season we are constantly surprised by what's to come. So I feel like, I mean, that's where the train is headed, and I just want to get to that station. I mean, obviously we've got the end of such an incredible season first, but I would love to see what happens in the future. And one thing else that I want to say that I'm so excited by is our supervising producer, Erin Brock, who is just, she's so invested in this. She's so creative. She thinks like she shoots for the moon. And I love her for that. And I think she doesn't get enough credit for pulling off one of the most complicated productions that our country has to offer, and providing us with such incredible entertainment. I just can't wait to see what she does next. You know, like I'm Big Sister. I'm not Big Brother. So I'm on the same roller coaster. I see it from a different angle, but I'm on that same roller coaster. And I just want it to be the best ride that anyone could hope for. So I can only imagine where that roller coaster would go in an All-Star season, or any season for that matter, because every year things are different. And even if things were different, the way we lay out the game, the people are different. So it is infinitely exciting to see what new people do with the same old show.
Arissa, thank you so much for coming on with us. I really do appreciate it. I know the listeners appreciate it as well. The Big Brother Canada 4 finale is this week, Wednesday night at 9, and then 2 hours on Thursday. I have that all right?
You've got that all right. And let me tell you, just expect your Are You Sure t-shirt in the mail, Rob.
Oh, that's wonderful. Could we use that as a hashtag for this podcast for people to listen to it?
You absolutely can. You absolutely right. can. But I'm so thrilled to be able to talk to you, because you share the same like obsession as me, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts after it all goes down.
And Arissa, let me just give you one more quick compliment before we go, that I
oh,
really
do go on, Rob.
Yeah, I really do applaud you, because you are very interactive on social media with the people who watch the show. And I'm sure it would be very easy to just sort of be able to like tune it out and ignore it, because that there are so many people, but because I think it's the 24/7 live feeds. So many people get so invested in the story and just feel like they don't have a place to be able to express what, like, what are you talking about? Like, why did this happen to this person?
Right, right, right.
And to sit there and to just not to say, like, I can't take it. I got to get out of here. But the fact that you are so good with the fans, I think it really is appreciated by so many of the viewers of the show.
Oh my God. Let me tell you, it's a dream. It's an absolute dream to be part of the show. And remember, when I was in my early 20s, I was on a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when. This was 2001. So imagine pre-social media, right?
People remember, I got questions about people wanted to hear about Lofters, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. By the way, Rob, I have a couple more minutes if you want to just go on for a little
bit. Okay,
good.
I'm not going to rush you.
We could talk. Yeah, so it was called The Lofters. So this was pre-social media, 2001. So this is right after the first U.S. Big Brother, first U.S. Amazing Race, mm-hmm. first U.S. Survivor. This was kind of our first big, as a country, our first big national foray into reality television. This was back when people just thought it was a fad, right? They didn't. They thought it was going to go away. But this was more along the real world kind of lines
yes.
over a Big Brother. So we lived, it was me and seven other people. We lived in a loft in downtown Toronto and we made internet television. So we made these little, you know, these little shows that would go online. But our loft was outfitted with cameras. We could leave, but we were followed by cameras if we did. But this was for a year.
Wow.
A year, Rob. So when people talk about the mind that Big Brother gives you, like, just imagine that you were living in the show as it was airing. It aired every night.
Mm-hmm.
So you could literally be on the couch beside your arch nemesis, watching the show, seeing their DR where they say, I don't know, insult you, for instance. And then you look at the person because they're beside you, and then you have to turn around and do a TV show together.
And you would watch the show while it was on?
We watched the show while it was on. Like, I was in the house, the first one awake on 9/11.
Wow.
The master control came in and said, turn on the television.
Wow.
Like, it was crazy. And not only that, we had live feeds as well. We had three live feeds, just like Big Brother. But we were also chatting with people online as they were happening.
Mm-hmm.
They were watching us. It's like imagine every all the house guests had a Twitter feed.
Yeah.
And we're able to see how they were perceived on the outside world. Like, it was absolutely crazy. But I think that gave me the empathy necessary to pull off a show like this. And that's probably why I'm so invested, because I know what it's like to be these people. I'm not superior to them. If I was 22, I probably would be auditioning too. But to see it, knowing what it's like to, you know, keep remembering to turn off your mic when you go pee, and what it's like to have a camera zoom over to you when you're snuggling into bed, all these things I've experienced. So I think that brings another layer of understanding to what's happening. And then it happens to be a really entertaining show. So I'm in it for that reason. And my sister and I, we're crazy. When we like a show, we really like a show. We read everything. We read all the blogs. We read the live feed reports. We check Twitter. We check Instagram. We text each other all day long experiencing this. And that's how people watch the show. It's not really a show. It's a lifestyle.
So when Big Brother Canada was first announced that they were doing it, was it something that you actively pursued because you had this experience, or was that something that they reached out to you when they were looking for the host of Big Brother Canada?
Well, it was actually a bit of both. So, I mean, I've been in TV for 16 years now, but I started as a general news reporter when I was 21 at a TV news station. And then the year later is when Lofters came about. But since then, I've been working in front of the camera, behind the camera. I've been a writer for TV. I've been a producer in lifestyle reality. So I had, more levels, all the random, bizarre skills that you need to be able to pull off being a host of a show this big, I had. So luckily, I actually had worked closely with the casting director on a different show when I was an associate producer on a different show. And she's the one who made sure that I got my stuff in. Mm-hmm. And I had no, I just heard, like, literally, she reached out and said, where's your stuff? I said, like, are you kidding? Big Brother's coming. So sign me up everywhere. And then as it was going, like, think about this. I had a newborn, mm-hmm. my son wasn't even a year old. If you recall, in season one, I had a really nice set of boobs.
no comment, Arissa.
No. and as it was happening, the process, I mean, it's hard enough to get cast on the show, but to become the host, that's a big deal. And it's a lot of meetings, and I wasn't living in the same city. I was flying back and forth with my son. I remember getting off a plane, getting driven to the studio, having my mother meet me there, handing my newborn off and going into a meeting and coming out of the meeting and taking my son and getting back on the plane to go back to Edmonton. Like, it was absolutely crazy how it all went down. And I am so thankful every day that I get to be part of something where every single person who works on the show is giving 100%.
Yeah.
And that really helps. Like, you don't understand when we work, you know, in the building, there's hundreds of people who put the show together, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there is not one person who I can think of who is not doing an amazing job and isn't in the job that they need to be. Like, we're all kind of trying to top each other with how much we can bring to the table. And you feel it across the building. So I'm going to give you an example. When there's an imminent house flip, okay, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, right? Sometimes you're like, oh my God, if that one person switches their vote, oh my God, it's going to be great. Like, we have that same feeling. So when you walk in, and my example, and I'm going to use Jordan again because I love him and he knows that, so I can do this. When that house flip looked like it was going to happen, and it wasn't just that he had nominated or he offered to be nominated, but he threw the veto in such an extreme way. Like, you remember he was sleeping? Yes. Remember he did the whole thing, like, right?
He tries to forget, but yeah, I remember.
But you remember. Okay, right. Because we're the viewing audience at this point, right? So meanwhile, Cindy, like, cop beast extraordinaire, with game on her mind, came back to, like, wreck everything. Came in and was doing all her behind-the-scenes stuff. I remember distinctly going into the building that day, and you could feel the electricity in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember I have meetings, I have fittings, I'm here, there, everywhere. I got press, I got all this stuff happening. But every spare second, and trust me, this is true. If you interviewed my assistant, she would tell you, every spare second I have, all I want to do is be in master control. Like, yeah. I want to be in reality control watching it all happen. But it was like not even just there, but it was like the security guard, for God's sakes, was like, oh my God, so is it going to happen? What do you think? Is it going to, you know, that is like the love that we have for this thing that we bring every single week. So the people who think that we don't care or we don't notice or that we aren't as plugged in as we are, like, they just don't understand how TV works.
All right. So the finale is Thursday. And then, yeah, of course, you guys will wrap out the show. What goes on for you then all of these months leading up to when we come back for Big Brother? How do you spend the non-Big Brother months of the year?
Well, I have two little kids. So honestly, I mostly am a mom. I do your average mom things, but I do other things too. I write sci-fi. I host, you know, I host the Directors Guild of Canada Awards, and I host like the Banff TV Festival Awards, and I do like tons of stuff in between. And then New Year's hits, and that's when I start actually hitting the gym. I'm not kidding. I hate the gym. I go to my basement and I watch a video. Whatever, okay? Not even important. But at that point, I just get excited. And then the more I hear, and here's the thing. I don't want to know who the house guests are until they're released. I don't get any of that behind-the-scenes production info. I'll know the broad strokes of the season long before it happens. But I won't know who the hamsters are until they're released. And I love that. I love the anticipation that comes because I think I get to share that with everybody else. And that's the beautiful thing about being able to be on social media is that, you know, you're experiencing it real time with everybody else. And the more people love or hate, house guests or twists or the show, it just, that comes from a place of love. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that because, you know, Twitter can be a place where self-esteem goes to die. Like, let's be honest. Like,
yes,
it can be a terrifying wasteland of, you know, hate and rage. But what I have to say to, you know, to fans who are on there, like, you want the show to come back? You want the show to stick around? Like, remember that when you're tweeting, when you're on Instagram, because, you know, there's other people with huge decision-making power that may or may not understand, like, what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if they, you know, if you just, oh God, like, maybe that's something that they would think about. But if they know that people are, even when they're losing it and they're mad and they're whatever, that it still comes from a place of loving this game, then I think that can only help us.
And will you follow the U.S. Big Brother over the course of the summers?
Oh, please. Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
All right. Well, here's what I want to know. That in the summer, will you come back and talk about U.S. Big Brother?
Oh, you're just going to put me on the spot like that. Rob, of course, for you, anything. Of course, I will.
I greatly appreciate it. Arissa,
okay,
thank
wait,
you.
Wait, before you let me go, wait, now I have one question for you, and I wanted to ask you this question before.
Okay.
But your dream All-Stars, who's in it?
For Big Brother Canada, I would say, I mean, this from this cast or just overall?
Overall, all seasons.
Okay, well, I'm such a big Netta fan. I feel like that she has to come back. I feel like we have to see her story play out, especially because she's not a winner. And Boy, would Peter leave your side? I feel like that he has a really good gig. I don't think that...
I know. He was playing the long game this whole time, so I don't know. I mean, he kind of is on this side of the production, so I'd be surprised if that would be able to happen. Carry on.
Yeah. Boy, boy. Now, I'm going to get haunted on Twitter the way that you get haunted on Twitter about people coming back. So many people... I had Kevin on the podcast the other day. I feel like that he would be great. I loved Godfrey last season.
Love Kevin. Love Kevin.
I really think that you guys have an embarrassment of riches in terms of, you know, who you're going to cast and, you know, so many different decisions you can make.
So many. Okay, from this season, who would you love to see?
Okay, so for this season... I feel like that Mitch, I think he's, you know, it was such extenuating circumstances that led to him going out, especially if Cass doesn't win. I think that you want to see her come back, Tim come back. Mm-hmm. But I would like to know from you, we talked about this on the podcast the other day, if the brothers come back, do they play again together as the brothers in an all-star season?
I heard you ask Kevin this question. And he was like, I'd never even thought of that. And to be honest, I hadn't either when I thought of it. But that seems like just amazingness, period. Like, I don't understand how that could go wrong. But I mean, when you look at, it's true, we've had such strong casts, I think, and we've had, in each season, at least five really interesting characters that didn't make it all the way or made it close. That I would just love to see any kind of combo of people coming back, because you come back with such a renewed vigor, you know, especially if you feel like you were hard done by, or the one mistake undid your entire game, or trusting that one person is what messed you up. I would love to see these players come back with information on each and every one of them, and then have to make new alliances based on that. I mean, it would be just phenomenal television. But again, if you like Big Brother, you like an original cast just as much as a returning players cast.
Yes.
So you can't go wrong. I feel like you cannot go wrong with Big Brother Canada. I swear to God, I would do this show for 20 years if I could.
Arisa, hold on. I have a call from Jared. Jared from Jury. Arisa, I would cut my hair if you let me go back at the house for the All-Stars. Can I come back?
Oh, poor guy. Oh, Jared. Jared, he thought he was safe. He really, really thought he was safe. He just did not put the pieces together. Can you imagine? Like, I play sliding doors with this game all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If he had won that POV, which he could have.
Yes.
Like, we would not be having the same conversation with brothers in a Final Four that we have. Like, it's unbelievable to me that this all happened the way it did. And that is, and it's got to be one of the best parts about our show, is just it's so unpredictable and you cannot write it. You just can't write it.
I want to know what happens when jealous Jared sees this footage of Phil flirting with Kelsey.
I'm scared for the rap party, okay? Rob, I'm pretty sure there's going to need to be some security guards.
It'd be a fist fight. Well, Arisa, thank you so much. You must have a million things going on this week. Thank you for being so generous with your time. Really do appreciate it. And again, that Big Brother Canada, everybody's going to watch the finale. I don't even need to plug it, but thank you so much. At Arisa Cox on Twitter.
That's right. Thanks so much, Rob. Have an amazing day, and I'll catch you on the flip side.
Okay, you too. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Arisa Cox here on the podcast, and really thought she knocked it out of the park. So very charismatic to talk to. Very fun listening to her talk about the show, and I really think that she's doing a great job in interacting with people online, which I think is probably the ideal thing to be doing if you're in her position of hosting one of these shows and just really engaging that audience, which we always try to do here on the podcast. Anyway, so this is the beginning of Big Brother Canada finale week here on the podcast. Of course, we have on Wednesday night, Jordan Parhar is going to be live after that Final Four eviction going down to three. I believe he is having Willow McDonald on with him on Wednesday night. He will also be on live after the finale on Thursday. And then we will have our coverage here on RHAP Propa here on Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. So make sure you get all of these podcasts when you're subscribed to Rob Has a Podcast, and also Reality TV Wrap-Ups, Jordan's podcast feed with all the other reality show feeds of The Challenge and everything going on with The Bachelor and stuff like that. You can get them all on the Rob Has a Podcast app. Go to robhasawebsite.com /app. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody.